Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 278, recorded on November 21st, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This week, we're sponsored by Tech Restore. Need a part to repair your iPhone, iPad, or Mac? Tech Restore offers quality parts and DIY guides that'll help you get the job done right. And with their safety net program, they'll help you out of a jam if things go wrong. I'll talk more about that later on in the show. I am Michael Johnston. With me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Sweet.
Yeah. There's a cat that's like running around and pouncing on everything behind me, but
I like to call those office managers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I just recently got an office manager.
And cool.
He's filing papers? I don't know.
He's filing papers and supervising.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's what he's doing. Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Hanging in there. I don't have an office manager, at least with me.
That's good. It's better without them.
They're off running errands someplace else.
Oh, okay. Cool. Are you, well, you send them on errands?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have these tiny little bourbon casks around their neck.
I like that. Yeah, I need to get mine one of those. That seems very helpful.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. So Apple stores have begun getting Apple Pencils in.
Yeah, but don't call and ask if they have them in.
Because they'll lie? Do they lie?
No. They have the most screwed up communication system in the world. First, you're not talking to an actual store.
Right.
Oh. And, yeah, I had a suspicion about that.
Yeah, and the stuff they tell you, it's just crazy. Like, I've been told none are being shipped to Colorado, which is not true. I've been told that Apple has stopped sending them to all stores and everyone's being referred to online for purchases, which is not true. And I've been told there are none in specific stores when there are.
And you're like, I'm standing in the store and looking at a stack of 15.
Have you gotten our inventory system is the same as the online one, so just look online?
Yes, and I'm routinely told, yes, just check in the Apple Store app.
In the app,
And I'm like, no, that doesn't work. but they're telling employees to say that. If you go in the store, they'll tell you that. And I'm like,
yep.
No, they've given you wrong information. It doesn't work.
I'm looking at them. They're on the shelf right here. I have the app open, and it says you don't have any.
Yeah. What the hell, Angela Arendts?
So it's a really messed up system.
This thing is, you know, what got me this week? So they're showing up in Best Buy stores. I have a listener who just bought one at online Best Buy for pickup today. And guess what? I ordered one day one.
It still hasn't shipped yet. Nice.
So I don't get who thought, oh, let's start shipping them to third-party resellers and Apple stores before we even ship them to the customers that placed an order day one.
That's pretty awesome.
It seems messed up to me.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Well, and I think here's the thing. They are being the company that every other company is. And I think that's what's most frustrating is... So they didn't make me any promises, right? My online order, and I've corrected a lot of people on Twitter, and I know this is a small distinction, but a lot of people are still under the mistaken impression that they made a pre-order. So what happened on the 11th was not a pre-order because Apple released stuff into retail stores on the 11th as well. So you
basically... It was just an online order.
It's an online order, and it's a small distinction, but I think... Semantically and obviously internally at Apple, there is a big difference with how they're handling this. So when I made my order on the 11th, right, I got an email confirmation, and my email does say it will deliver between November 20th and November 30th. So in Apple's mind, they are right on track, right? They have not overpromised me anything or underpromised me. You know, they are, as long as it gets here by the 30th, they've fulfilled their end of the business agreement that I have with them right now. Which
it doesn't make it sting any less, though.
Well, but they've never, this is not how they've traditionally done things. And I don't know if this is Angela Arendt's or who this falls on. But, you know, in the past, you'd have situations, even with recent releases. I think it happened with the iPhones, where people were given certain delivery dates and the iPhone showed up early. So with longstanding customers like us, they've set this expectation in the past that they are going to do better than what they've told us. And so people have sort of come to expect that. And so there's a lot of anger and frustration now because guess what? They're acting just like I might as well have just ordered from Dell because I'm going to get the same sort of experience. And that sucks.
That does suck.
That's what sucks in my mind. Is okay, if this is the new norm, then I guess we're just gonna have to accept it. But bad on you, Apple, because now you're not the better company that we've sort of believed that you are were.
Does it seem like they've kind of lost sight of the customer experience is number one and design is number two?
No, but it's weird. It's like they've forgotten a piece of it because the overall customer service experience is leaps and bounds beyond what any other company's doing.
Yeah. This is only one little area. This ordering, pre-ordering, distribution, retail experience thing, and I'm really hoping it's the kind of thing where they've been doing kind of this past year of like really sweeping changes and they just haven't figured stuff out yet. That like this will all get smoothed out, but this year has just been a rough year in terms of transitioning. And, you know, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. That's what I hope is going on. I'm hoping
what are they transitioning
to? Launch gets better.
What's the transition?
I think they're transitioning. It feels to me like they're transitioning back to simultaneous launches online and in retail stores in that you're going to have to make your choice. If you want it day one, you're going to have to go to a retail store. I think the pendulum's switching back that way. And I think it's because Apple wants you to have this in-store experience. And you can see it. You go into the store when there is a product in, or you order online for a personal pickup. And they just extended personal pickup into the UK this week.
Yeah.
Too. I think personal pickup is going to be the thing that Angela's trying to push, where you order online. I think what they're telling people is exactly where they want to get to. Is I go online day one, order it, it's going to be in store that day, I'm going to be able to pick it up. But I think they're having severe inventory problems right now. And I think it's just really poor planning. So they have to figure out that if they're going to make this be the experience, they've got to time their launches and have supply chain in line with it. And I think it's just totally off for this launch, especially with the iPad Pro. And it was with the Apple TV to a certain degree too. It wasn't quite as bad with that. But, you know, timing, I think, is where they're screwing up.
Yeah.
Now, is this a problem in general or is this a problem in the echo chamber?
Somewhat in the echo chamber.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're the people that Apple has conditioned for years. Mm-hmm. And people that are new to the Apple ecosystem, which definitely outnumber us. Do they see this as an issue?
I don't think they see it as a problem, no. I mean, again, because they're conditioned with every other experience that this is how it works. I order online, they give me a window, and they deliver in that window.
Right. So the average Apple product user didn't see the launch day as a pre-order online, just as, oh, I can order it online.
They probably saw it. Store and they either had inventory or they didn't.
Saw it as a pre-order. Now, the one thing that was interesting for me that maybe you guys had the same experience. The one time I called to see if my store had any pencils in, I think it was the same day that we did the last show. They went and looked, and they couldn't.
How did you get someone physically in the store?
I doubt it was. They said that they were going to go look. I don't know what they were. They were probably going to their like giant computer in the back of the room with like vacuum tubes and asked it a question.
But they will transfer you, Jeff, if you push them hard enough.
You have to say manager.
Yeah, well, I didn't have to say manager. They did transfer me one time when I was looking for inventory at an individual store, because I think I questioned them on their online inventory thing, I think is where it came up. And he said, I forget what they said, but basically they went away. They said, let me go check. And then suddenly someone else picked up and I could tell the sound of the call had changed. Mm-hmm. It was someone at the retail location because they like physically went and checked the inventory in that store for
me. I was going to ask that question. Do you guys have any tips on how to talk to someone actually at the store? Because it used to be press number 5.
Well, when you get the phone tree at the beginning, the automated thing where the guy's like, hi, you know, thanks for calling Apple. iPad's the greatest, hoo hoo hoo, and all that.
Yeah.
when it starts asking you questions, you just say, you need to say manager a lot.
Manager, like
it,
that.
Then it transfers you to the store.
Ah.
Now, when you get to the store, it's not a manager that picks up, which is okay because you didn't really need the manager. You just needed someone in the store that can go look on the shelf and see if there are any Apple Pencils.
Yeah. And it's weird what they've done because you call the local number, right?
Yeah.
It shows the store number, but you end up in the centralized system.
Well, it's always been that way, I think. Yeah, it's always been like that, but you have to press. There was a certain number before the Apple cheerleader man picked up with the fake keyboard clicking sounds.
I think you can ask just to be transferred to the store, too. Like, you can kind of just be like, hey, I understand you have your system, but I'd really like to talk to someone in the store who can check inventory for me.
And I suppose it in a lot of ways it makes sense that they don't want people at the store handling those calls because a lot of them can just be handled by a more central thing.
Sure. And yeah, that makes sense.
It would make sense if their inventory system was actually accurate or on time, or Apple employees weren't buying inventory out the back of the store.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to talk about that?
Into the system, you know.
Yeah, there is that.
Adam, do you want to mention anything?
No, it's just I've had total confirmation that for this launch, and this is another change. And again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this. I'm just giving it as an explanation as to why inventory for this launch is different and a little bit harder to find. Apparently, it's totally fine for this launch for Apple employees to buy stock, which means that if an employee wants a pencil, just like any other retail customer at the store, they are cleared. It seems like it's cleared. They're cleared to buy it. And I've had confirmation from a couple different stores and locations that this is happening. Whether it's officially endorsed or condoned by Apple, I don't know, because Apple corporate doesn't talk about that good stuff. Historically, it's been frowned upon, but it seems like this time around, employees are definitely buying inventory if they want it, if it comes into the store. And the only difference there is obviously they have the advantage. They're in store. They know when it comes into stock. The other thing that's going on, and anybody who owns a business and who's gone into an Apple retail store knows this, you can talk to a business services manager and you can become part of their business program. There's no fee to do it. You just basically sign up and you have to have a business. And generally they want to see a business card or some sort of vetting process. But once you become a business, you can, when you go into the retail store, ask to talk to the business services people, or when you call in, ask to talk to the business services people, and you get a little more sort of businessy personal experience. And those guys are also for, at least for larger customers, because I'm in the business program, but I'm only a business of one. So they would not sort of alert me or set aside inventory for me. But I do know that they were setting aside inventory, because when I went in and finally found my pencil, the guy told me, hey, we had a shipment, 20 came in, 12 were already grabbed by business services for clients who were looking for them. And so we have eight available to sell on the floor.
But so it probably was six, because there was probably two employees that bought pencils also.
Well, the week before I had gone in and an employee had told me, yeah, we got three in and they were all bought by employees.
Yeah.
So
now I went in to the Boulder Apple store this morning before we recorded just to see if they had any inventory, and they did not get any Apple Pencils today. However, they confirmed to me that their shipment cycles have been ramped up. So instead of doing every other day deliveries, they're now getting daily shipments, including Sundays.
Just to note, you know, I know the pencil's been kind of the big thing everybody's been looking for. The keyboards are nowhere to be found. I haven't heard of anybody getting a keyboard either in store or online order or anything.
The only keyboards that I know for sure are out in the wild were the review units that Apple sent out to a handful of sites.
That's all I've seen too. I mean, maybe they're starting to trickle out now, but I haven't seen anybody comment on Twitter or send me an email to say that they've received one. And I'm still waiting.
I've been told by employees in a couple stores that the only smart keyboards they ever received were their demo models.
Their demo units. Yeah, I was told similar things at my retail store. But again, you never know if the information you're getting is totally accurate or not either when it comes to Apple. And this just all adds to the frustration. So again, I want to be clear about the employee buying stock. It sounds like it's a totally fine thing, and there's nothing wrong. It's just compared to how things have been handled in the past for, again, us long-standing customers who are in the echo chamber, this is a very different kind of launch, and we're not used to that. And I know some people feel like that's a jilting thing. I'm not going to pass any judgment on it because I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's frustrating, but I mean, an employee is, you know, like any other customer, I guess, if they're paying full price for the inventory, they do have the added advantage of just being more in the know on inventory. And that seems a little unfair, but...
Insider trading.
Well, I could go get a job at the Apple store. I mean, there's nothing stopping me from doing that.
They probably would stop you.
Well, yeah, my guess is Apple wouldn't want to hire any of us.
They'd make me stop podcasting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could go do that and maybe get some inventory, or I could buddy up to somebody I know who works there and have them pull one aside or buy one for me. I mean, this is nothing new. These are all tricks that you can use if you want to do that sort of thing. So, you know, people who are saying, well, it's unfair. Well, you know, you probably have some job perks too that other people don't have.
Yeah. And issues like this where a retailer has extremely limited inventory come in and employees buy the product. This isn't just an Apple thing. I worked retail for a long, long time, and I saw this happen at other companies with other products.
Yep.
And although when I worked for REI at the time, and I don't know what it's like now, it's been a long time, but when I did work for them, they were pretty adamant about when we get product in, if it's limited inventory, you have to wait.
Yeah. And I think that's probably still Apple's general policy. I don't know why this time around what's actually happening is a little different, or what we're hearing is happening.
Yeah.
Again, the good news for people who are trying to come buy these things is that it sounds like Best Buy this week is starting to get inventory. So that's another place you can check.
Yeah.
And you can buy online and pick up in store with Best Buy too. So,
And for anyone in Colorado, I checked Best Buy's online inventory system earlier today, and at least their online system says there are no Apple Pencils at Best Buy's in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm getting the same thing for my area too. So both of you got yours, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's lovely.
Yeah, and we both got ours in the same way. We walked into a store and were able to find one as opposed to getting our online order delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually one of the things I was going to say. So the person I spoke with said she recommended placing an order online, but she made a point to mention that they don't charge you until it ships.
Right.
So that I could continue checking in the stores every day. And if I found one in the store earlier, then I could just cancel my order. So I guess that is a strategy.
Or you can just take your shipment and maybe cover the costs of both when you resell it.
Yeah, people are buying them on eBay for $300.
Yeah. But iFixit got a hold of one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as they do. And they tried their darndest to open it up in a way that seemed like one could open it up. And they ended up getting out some power tools and just slicing down the center. So they sliced down the plastic center and
to get to the creamy filling in the middle.
Yeah.
Nom nom.
Okay, so they got the center out. Really, you can only take the tip off and the cap, but beyond that, you have to cut it open. And what they found inside at that layer really was just an antenna and a metal barrel, which there was a screw through that. And they thought, okay, cool. Well, we can just take out that screw and geez, that doesn't do anything for us. So then they had to slice open the metal barrel.
And then they had to just peel the whole thing apart.
Yeah.
Layer by layer.
There's gotta be a way to get it apart without destroying it.
No.
I don't think so.
You can build it so that it can't be unbuilt.
I suppose, yeah.
And it looks like that's what they did.
Yeah. So, okay. That part aside for a moment, it's pretty cool in there.
Yeah.
So the battery is a 0.329 watt hour lithium ion that's basically 5% the charge of an iPhone 6S battery. Which, you know, it makes sense. But there's a little logic board in there.
It's folded in half like a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant five chip design. Yeah. I mean, that's so smart. I mean, you can't put a regular shaped-ish circuit board inside that thing because it's a tube. So they folded the circuit board in half.
Yeah, they made it tube-shaped.
It was a really clever move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a freaking ARM processor in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably run iOS like one on there. So that's cool.
Your Bluetooth 4.1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And I guess there are all kinds of little transmitters and things in there around the tip and whatnot to indicate to the iPad the angle at which you're holding it and the pressure and all of that stuff. But as far as the battery goes, I think the battery is actually most of the device, right? It's most of the length of the device.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No. Based on the photos, I'm guessing the battery is at tops an inch long. Oh. I mean, it's a solid chunk. But most of it is the circuit board and the sensor components.
Huh. Yeah,
I know. You'd think that the battery would be a lot bigger. But no, it's a lot smaller than you would think.
Well, I mean, in terms of percentage of the device, I think it might be half the length of it.
No.
It's just a little spot?
I don't think it's that long.
It's pretty, yeah, it is. Yeah, if you look at the image.
Yeah, I think it's about half the length.
You have the tip, which is maybe an inch, and then you have the circuit board on the other end, which is maybe an inch, inch, 2 inches, and then everything in between looks like it's battery, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But as far as...
It's also like a folded round battery.
Yeah, the battery, it's the black and gold part.
I think that's the antenna.
No, the antennas are...
Yeah, the battery's the mushy thing in the middle, Jeff.
Is it?
Yeah, the big, long, black, mushy thing in the middle.
Okay, well,
yeah,
this
it is. It says
is exactly
lithium ion
why
battery right there.
I am not an engineer.
That's
yeah,
right.
If you look at, if you're on the iFixit site, go to step 8 and look at the third image, and you can see the thing where it says lithium ion battery.
Yep.
In that image.
It says it right there.
And it's...
On step 8. Right,
it's
scrolling down.
Almost the entire middle of the pencil.
Oh, yep. I see it now. Okay. The thing that... Yep, I see it.
And it's sort of wrapped around the central shaft.
Yep.
All right. So what was the black and gold thing that I thought was the battery?
I think that's the antenna. That's one of the antennas, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So if your company that's looking for someone to design your new high-tech stylus for the iPad, Jeff, remind me not to submit my resume.
Yeah, Jeff Industries should not submit.
No. Although if you want one that's crayon based, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
So is the logic board on the tip end or the? That's what I can't see.
I think it's on the tip end. Looking at the phone.
Yeah, it's on the tip.
Keep
end.
In mind, I'm the guy that can't tell the battery.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then the little black and gold thing is the antenna on the eraser. What would be the eraser end? It doesn't have an eraser. But.
Yeah. Do you guys wish that it had an eraser at the end?
No.
You know what? I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Adam, I know that you're a fan of the Twist Erase pencils, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're both Twist Erase guys.
That's a regular pencil. It was interesting. Yeah. I thought Rene Ritchie, and I think I retweeted this. He had a really interesting image and observation. So if you've ever gone to art school or been an artist, almost no art pencils have erasers on the end because you get different kinds of erasers for different kinds of applications. So it's a kind of right tool for the right jobs sort of thing. So most artists are, you know, used to not having an eraser on the end of their
Yeah, architects, device. Same deal.
Yeah. Even when I was in school and using like regular yellow number two pencils, I would burn through the pencil and the eraser would still be completely intact because I never used it. I used other erasers, which comes from the whole art thing. And I have the other pencil by 53, and it has the eraser piece on the end.
Yeah.
And
never use it.
I used it to test.
Yeah. It doesn't work all that great, to be honest, anyway. Yeah.
Well, because I know the only reason I bring it up is because I believe the newest Microsoft version of this has an eraser end.
Here's the thing is the problem with the eraser in most of these applications is that you flip it around and it's pretty much a fixed size. And generally when I'm drawing stuff, I need to be able to adapt my eraser brush size in the same way that I would be adapting my drawing brush size.
Yeah, I'm thinking about writing things strictly. That's where
it'd be convenient, I guess, for note taking maybe. But
yeah. So what do you think about the repairability score? They gave it a 1.
it totally makes sense.
Which is the lowest.
Zero.
I don't think they have a 0. I think they probably would have given it a 0. Although maybe they gave it a 1 because you can replace the nib and
and the cap. And the cap on the end.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to go back to you kind of wish you had an eraser for notes thing.
Hmm.
Instead of an eraser on the end.
Clip?
Nope. A better thing for erasing is exactly what Apple did with the message pad, where you don't have to change how you're holding the stylus at all. You just scribble over what it is that you want to make go away, and it disappears. That's what people need to do.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I did see.
Over it and then poof, it goes away.
Yeah.
I saw on Reddit someone decided they realized they really wanted a clip on their Apple Pencil. Mm-hmm. And they just went to the store and purchased, I think it was a Uni, one of their mechanical pencils, and you could pull the clip off of that and it fits perfectly.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
That's smart.
So there's a nice little tip for you.
I have one here.
Yeah. So basically the bottom line of the teardown is that when your pencil's battery gives out, your pencil's done.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Apple would offer some sort of reduced cost repair sort of thing.
No.
No.
No?
The pencil battery is going to outlast your AppleCare. So by the time your pencil battery dies, it's just a disposable product. And you just buy a new one, and whatever is available at that time is going to be better anyhow. My guess is that at a minimum, you'll get 3 years off this, and I bet you'll get even more time.
That's probably true. How long is the
reality?
How long
is
does the charge
lose
last?
The pencil before the battery dies.
How long does the charge last? A full charge.
But what I've been hearing is between 10 and 12 hours.
Okay.
And so that's use time. It's not like you charge it and then 10 hours later you have to charge it again.
Right.
So with a 10 to 12 hour window, unless you're like doing crazy heavy usage with this thing, I bet you can go a week without even having to think about charging.
Yeah, because I'm thinking maybe this is more along the lines of like a TV remote battery. Because, for example, I bought my TV in 2007, and it came with a pair of AAAs in the box for the remote. And those same AAAs are in there.
Sure. Yeah, I have remotes where when they stopped working, I thought the remote had broken. Never, because I had never replaced batteries. The original batteries.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
It's interesting. So I charged I did some charging tests yesterday with the Pencil, and I charged it to 100%. I'm trying to think of how much I've used the Pencil since I charged it to 100% yesterday. I'm looking now, it says it's at 80%, and I did a little testing this morning, but not very much. I don't think I've used it more than 15 minutes, tops.
Well, I'm at 75% right now. I just checked. And I charged mine when I got it, so I've had it, a week now?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using it quite a bit, and I'm down 25%.
Interesting. I wonder if there's a problem with mine. That's weird that it's at 80%.
Was your cat chewing on it?
I don't remember using it yesterday, and I did use it this morning because I was testing some note-taking stuff.
Well, it's possible that it's still going through its calibration phase.
Yeah. Yeah. An interesting thing on charging. So I did a charging test and made a chart. Mine was down to 31%. And so I plugged it in to see how it would charge and basically watched the little monitor, the widget, the battery widget. And it was pretty consistently 3% every 30 seconds it would go up.
Cool.
There was one weird exception, and I think maybe when the iPad is doing background processing, it might put the charging on hold. I'm not entirely certain. Because at one point it was going 3% every 30 seconds, and then it went a full, almost 5 minutes without charging. And then it went right back to 3% every 30 seconds until it was up to 100%.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so even more interesting. So my total charge time from 31% to 100% was about 18 and a half minutes. So I just want to throw that out there because that contradicts the extrapolation that a lot of people did. So Apple says you can get a 1 hour charge in 15 seconds. Is that right?
I thought it was a 30-minute charge.
30-minute charge. Sorry. 30-minute charge in 15 seconds. So that would imply that for every 1.5%, just based on my little informal test, and again, I've only done this once, I'm going to try to do it a few more times, that 1.5% battery would give you 30 minutes of usage.
Well, you would think, but if you look at the way rechargeables actually do their charging,
right,
they charge relatively quick or comparatively quickly for that first, between 70 and 80%. And then that last chunk takes a long time.
Yeah, I would agree with you, other than the fact that I did this test and for 20 minutes I monitored it, and again, it went up 3%. I mean,
So in your case, it was a nice linear chart.
Oh, yeah. It's almost a straight line.
Interesting. I need to know more about battery chemistry. But I would imagine that has to do with the density of electrons.
Yeah. But the point is a lot of people had extrapolated from that 30 minutes and 15 seconds that you could charge from 0 to 100% in about 120 seconds, about 2 minutes. And that is definitely not at all what I found in my first charging test. It took about 18 and a half minutes to do a 70% charge.
And that seems far more reasonable to me. You know, when I was seeing the early extrapolations, that just it didn't seem.
And that doesn't mean Apple's claim that you can get 30 minutes of charge in 15 seconds isn't accurate. Because, again, it depends on how quickly the battery depletes, and I don't know what that is now. So I didn't do that test. I was just doing how long does it take to charge the, you know, the pencil all the way up. And I didn't have it all the way at zero, so I started at 70. So my guess is you're looking at about 20 to 25 minutes to go from zero to 100% charge, just based on one test. Again, I'm going to continue testing it, but just it was interesting to see.
Have you guys had the issue where your iPad Pro becomes unresponsive after you charge it?
Nope.
So that's a thing that I guess some people have experienced. Apple's looking into it. And if that does happen to you, you pretty much have no other choice but to force restart it at this point.
Why do people consider that to be such a bad thing?
Well, I mean, if you're in the middle of something, but it doesn't seem like it happens when you're in the middle of something.
Not in this instance, but I mean, that's just a good general troubleshooting tip. Like if you're having weird random problems, and it can fix a lot of things.
Yeah, restart.
And a lot of people seem to have this big aversion to it, and it doesn't take that long, and it doesn't do that much stuff, you know? It's like a little inconvenient, but you're talking about a 15 to 30 second process in most cases.
Yeah.
I get the people who don't want to do it, and I hate doing this, the, like, you know, backup to iTunes, full restore, full, you know, restore from backup. That is frustrating. But yes. No, doing a general, you know, hard restart where you hold the sleep wake and home button for, you know, until you see the Apple logo.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nearly as painful as doing it to your Mac, right?
Right.
That's one of those things where it's like, if you, there was a period where I was having issues with my computer waking from sleep. And sometimes I was able to recover it by doing an SSH from another machine and killing some process.
Because that's a lot easier than rebooting it, for sure.
Okay, you know what? I'm not saying it's easier, but it seems less like me, like mercy killing a friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. The nerd in me gets it.
I would rather spend 20 minutes trying to fix it that way and then failing.
Well, and you worry that there's some background process going on, or like, what if there's...
Yeah, it also helps me understand what's going on and possibly causing it to not happen again. So
data, you know, you want to avoid data corruption.
Totally.
Some weird process is happening. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I have this app on my Mac called Catnip.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pref pain, but if your cat likes to walk on the keyboard, it detects cat-like typing, and it will disable the keyboard and put a message on the screen that says cat-like typing detected, and you have to type the word human to get it to unlock. And the only issue with that, it works very well, except
your cat learned how to type human.
No, that would be very impressive. And I would allow him to, I would buy him his own computer at that point. But the power button on the newer Macs is just a regular chiclet key. And so he can very easily press that. And so he was on the keyboard and I was just, you know, letting him be there because it's warm and I didn't care for a minute. But he had his foot on the power key and it just shut off. So that was cool. I was in the middle of stuff too, but I forgot about the whole power button kind of overriding everything. Cause it'd be bad if the power button could be disabled like that.
Yeah. Totally makes sense.
So yeah,
I've never had that problem with my office manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nightshade has no interest in walking on my keyboards.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. Let's see. Tim Cook says Apple won't create a converged Mac and iPad product.
Oh, surprise.
And well, it's not surprising. That part isn't surprising. What was surprising to me is the fact that there was so much backlash comment wise on the story that I looked at, it seemed like every one of the comments was that they want that.
Who?
Well, everybody on Mac Rumors, I guess. But those people are crazy. They have to be crazy to want that.
Those people are crazy. They don't understand what they're asking for.
No, they don't. Why would you want that? I mean,
it makes no sense to me.
You're basically saying
what they're really saying is they want to be able to do everything on an iPad exactly the way they do it on their Mac. And if that's the case, you just buy a Mac.
Yeah, just buy a MacBook or a MacBook Air. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, I don't. God, right? I wonder if this is part of the contingent of people that's slowly causing Apple to shift away from stuff that makes sense, designing things in a way that makes sense. Because the reason iOS is the way it is because it's tailored to touch input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want Mac OS, then you need a cursor because you need pixel level precision.
Yeah.
And if you need a cursor, then you need a mouse, and then you have a dumb Surface thingy.
In my little experiment of using the iPad Pro as my mobile platform, it is just further confirming to me that the idea of a touchscreen laptop is just stupid.
Because you're not really super digging the whole giant pad thing?
No. That's fine. It's just... I'm more and more convinced that, you know, maybe I need to learn to live with like an on-screen keyboard and not a physical keyboard.
That sounds bad, but okay.
Well, but is it really? That's what I'm kind of coming to experience. And here's the thing, because I have a physical keyboard, I have the Logitech keyboard, and the more I use iOS apps, which are not designed to be used with keyboards, really, I mean, they're better because with the iPad Pro, certain apps now have shortcuts and things like that, but there's still these moments where you have to reach up and touch the screen.
Yeah.
And the what I've always believed in the past is that Apple never did it because moving between those two planes, between a horizontal plane and a vertical plane, it is the most unnatural, awkward,
totally
weird thing to do.
Totally. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess the interesting thing with my thinking on that was, why would you want a touchscreen Mac?
Right.
Because I'm thinking the other way around. I'm not thinking I want an iPad with Mac OS. I'm thinking touchscreen Mac, which is the same thing, but going at it a different direction. But
right.
Again, it would be, you have to reach up and do all this manipulation with the screen, and it just seems totally unnecessary.
Yeah. So a big complaint.
What would be the advantage, really, is what I don't understand.
A big complaint of a lot of reviews of the iPad Pro with keyboard is a lot of people are calling, well, Apple needs to add the ability. Here's a great example. So if you do a Spotlight search, right, you have a keyboard attached, you can activate Spotlight with the same command on the iPad Pro, command spacebar.
Oh.
And you can type your search, right? So you can do an app launch. But here's the thing. You can't use the arrow keys on the keyboard to scroll down and select the item that's on the screen. You have to reach up and still tap it.
Does it not have arrow keys?
No, it has arrow keys.
But why can't you? Why wouldn't it let you?
Because it's a touch device.
Because it's a touch device.
Okay, but now you're just saying that Apple did it in a way that just forces you to use it as a touch device. Well, someone could make the argument that
they have to
enable that, and then it wouldn't be an issue.
No, but yeah, again, but so that's the call. But here's the thing. If we're talking about what Tim Cook is talking about, where we're not going to converge these devices, this is just one other area where you're saying, okay, let's make it like more like a touchscreen laptop. And so the question
And Apple's saying no, we're
they,
not.
Well, I don't know if they're saying no or not, but it does raise in your mind, should they or shouldn't they even go that far? I would like them to go that far because I have an iPad Pro now and that's how I want to use it. But I have to also step back from that desire and look at the device and go, am I really trying to force it to be a laptop when it shouldn't be a laptop?
And I'm inclined to think that's what's happening. And the keyboard that I've been playing with for the past several days with my iPad Pro has made me realize that I really don't want a tablet Mac. I want an iPad and I want a Mac. And what drove that home was when I was typing and needed to to move where the cursor was in my Pages document. Mm-hmm. And I popped my thumb down to slide around on the trackpad.
Right, I did that too.
And I'm like, oh wait, I have to reach up and tap on the screen. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I really don't want to have a converged device.
Yeah, so once again, if you were just on your screen typing, right, Apple's added the ability to move the cursor around like a trackpad with that cool two-finger gesture on the virtual keyboard, right? It would be a more seamless experience if you were just doing that, right? Than opposed to this weird, awkward, you know, other thing. And that's kind of what I'm coming to learn. So it's going to be interesting when I get the Apple keyboard. I may ultimately, because I still want my mobile experience to be my iOS, the iOS experience. I like that. I think it's going to work for me. But I'm learning through this process, I think, that I probably don't want to try to make the iPad into this weird hybrid touch computer. I probably want to use the iPad as it was designed, and everything is going to be much more seamless.
Right. Yeah, I'm not looking for a weird iOS OS 10 chimera. I totally get that I want to have separate experiences.
Yeah, because it would also complicate things for iOS developers, right, Michael? If iOS developers suddenly start to have to like deal with, because there's people calling for, well, the iPad should have support for trackpads and mice too. We're starting to hear those things come out, you know, specifically with the iPad Pro. And here's the thing is then suddenly developers have to like deal with that stuff, right? You have to deal with, okay, my app has to work with a mouse and a trackpad and touch input. And that severely complicates the UI experiences and the user experiences that you now have to account for, and you're not going to know what do people have, what don't they have, what happens with third. It's going to overly pollute, I think.
Well, I think that even more.
It
than,
sounds like you're starting to talk about Windows.
More than that, yeah. Though, I think it speaks to what Apple has done a lot in the past, which is avoiding giving developers and potentially users enough rope to hang themselves with, because I can see developers. So if suddenly the iPad Pro has the ability to work with a trackpad and mouse, then you see less experienced developers, let's say, saying, oh, okay, well, I can just develop an app that works with a mouse. And then they develop that app that works with a mouse and never really mess with it outside of that use case. And then you have a bunch of really terrible apps on the App Store, which makes a bad experience for all the customers of the device. And that's one of those things that Apple has always, with their purposeful limitations, tried to avoid.
Yeah. So, you know, so that it comes back to that example that I was giving, will Apple give the ability to, you know, tab through the keyboard for a search result? I think maybe they shouldn't. As much as I want it and a bunch of other people want it and think it should be there, it may be a line that needs to be drawn that says, look, no.
I agree. I think that line needs to be drawn and Apple needs to say no. I think this is a perfect place where Apple needs to do exactly what Steve Jobs always said, which is don't give people what they want, give them what they need.
Right.
Yeah. Although that's, yeah. It's getting tough for Apple to really hone in on that these days, but let's not go there.
So I'm happy, you know, getting back to this, I'm happy that Tim Cook is still drawing this line. And it's really interesting, I think, to see the Microsoft approach and the Apple approach, which are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And it'll be interesting to see which one sort of plays out.
Yep.
You know, I think Microsoft is looking at wanting to do touchscreen laptops, basically, and Apple.
Well, that's
like,
that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have more to talk about in the episode, but first we should talk about our sponsor, which is Tech Restore. If you need a part to repair your iPhone, your iPad, Mac, Tech Restore offers quality parts and DIY guides that'll help you get the job done right. And with their safety net program, they'll help you get out of a jam if things go wrong with your DIY. Tech Restore has been in the Apple repair business since 2004. Their Apple-certified techs have repaired tens of thousands of iOS and Mac products. So they know what they're doing, and they source some really high quality parts. They have a lot of ties in the industry for sourcing parts. And even in the past, they've actually gotten a hold of things that they, white iPhone screens back when they didn't have white iPhones for the iPhone 4. Hooked me up with that.
I remember when you did that.
Yeah, that was a fun experience. So they have a lot of good stuff that they can get access to. And previously, they've only focused on doing repairs for consumers and schools and businesses. But now you can buy the same repair parts used by Tech Restore for your own do-it-yourself repairs. They have iPhone screens, iPad digitizers, Mac keyboards, LCD screens, and so much more. Basically, all the stuff that craps out or breaks easily, they have it. And while most part companies want to just sell you the part and never talk to you again, Tech Restore offers the wonderful safety net program that can help you out if you run into problems with your DIY repair. So the safety net program is an optional thing that you can pick up whenever you want, basically. So once you've ordered a part, you can add that on whenever you need to. And it includes pickup and return shipping, even if your part is in pieces, which is very cool. So let's say you get halfway into your repair and you realize, hey, I just can't get past this one thing. It requires some, weird moving of parts or what have you. It's one of those things that sometimes happens, especially with these smaller devices, that it just, you feel like you're going to break it if you go any further. And that's exactly what the safety net is for. So you can actually take the parts that you have, put it in the bag, and send it off to them. So even if you don't get the safety net before you start out on it, once you get to that point, you realize, I can't do this, get the safety net. It's $29. Put it in the bag, send it off to them. And it includes a diagnosis. So once they get it, they look at it and tell you what's going on with it. And if your device needs additional parts or labor, they will give you a detailed no obligation price quote. And actually, the thing is, if it's just a matter of doing a couple little quick things and then putting the new part in and then reassembling the entire thing, because these guys have so much experience already, it's not going to cost any more than $29 if it's something like that. But if you need to repair other things, like the time that I tried to replace, I forget what it was. It must have been like a digitizer, and then I sliced some cables as I was trying to get the iPad apart.
Oh,
yeah, it's one of those kind of situations. If you run into something like that, safety net's perfect, because you send your sad broken iPad to them and they'll say, hey, it needs this one other part, and then we'll put it all together for you in a way that doesn't ruin anything else. Then, you pay the difference and then you get it back and it's all nice. So check them out, techrestore.com, or you can call 925-689-9488 to speak to an actual human. They're great. Check them out, techrestore.com. And with that, there have been some more betas pushed out into the wild, I guess. Is it the wild? It's the developer wild. The third beta of tvOS 9.1. Again, we don't really have any information on what's been fixed, so I'm guessing bug fixes, which is good. We want bug fixes. And I guess there have been improvements to the whole Siri Apple Music situation. And they've also seeded the fourth iOS 9.2 beta to developers and public beta testers. So you can't be a public beta tester for Apple TV. And I've still not loaded the beta onto my Apple TV because I really don't want to set it up again.
I get that.
Yeah.
Just wait.
I think I'm just going to wait. It works well enough.
Soon, I would imagine, right?
That's what I'm thinking. It works well enough. There aren't any features that are really calling to me because, again, there's nothing we can really pin down at this point. So, yeah, if I leave it alone, it'll come out in a couple weeks and it won't nuke my Apple TV. And still no word. Someone's got to have started a counter since Apple TV 4 release day of the, it's like remote app watch day 69 or whatever.
That counter number's going to get really high, Michael.
Oh, God, don't. I don't want that. I want the app. there are so many people. It's really funny, actually, in the Apple TV subreddit. Every other day, it's like, hey, I just got my new Apple TV, but I can't figure out how to get it to work with the remote app. It's really
and
sad.
Then everyone else that posted before that, they're like,
Yeah. Did you see the magnetic Apple Watch dock that Apple released?
The little flying saucer dock.
Yeah, the flying saucer dock. The $80 flying saucer dock.
Oh, Apple.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, so I have not seen this in person, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that most of this saucer is made of plastic or perhaps some kind of flexible material.
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
It's probably free-range or organic plastic.
Okay, good.
It's like a plastic weighted base.
So a cow could
disc
eat it.
Shape. Yeah. It's like a little pillow to me.
It does. Yeah. It's like a little Apple Watch pillow. And so you can lay it down face up, but it also flips up 90 degrees.
Yeah. The centerpiece flips up, not the whole disc.
Right. Yeah. The centerpiece flips up. The little magnetic puck flips up so that you can get the nightstand charging mode, which is nice because that's a great thing to have, and I use that every night. But it's $80. It does come with I've heard it's a 2 meter long lightning cable. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any confirmation on that.
It makes sense for it to be a longer cable.
It does, yeah. Yeah, but it's $80, and there are a lot of people complaining. I think that some of the complaints are funny. Because it's like, you know, I started buying Apple products in 2007, but yeah, no, with every day, I'm more disgusted by the obvious greed of Apple. When I jumped into the Apple ecosystem in 2007, I understood that the products were a bit more expensive, but most likely worth it. But today, everything they sell is so obviously and shamelessly overpriced that it seems the millionaires and billionaires at Apple have lost any connection with reality. And then there are other people who are like quoting Steve Jobs.
You don't have to buy it. I mean, this isn't your only charging dock solution. There's
do people say
other
this
ones.
About BMWs?
Well, okay. The thing that really got me is nobody pointed out, at least that I saw, that if you want to get one from what are the other companies, like 12 South or, you know, there are a lot of basically metal pedestals that cost $60. They don't have a charging puck or anything.
Right. Yeah.
That,
and
like
when
the
you
Nomad.
Add in a new charging puck and all that, they cost the same.
Yeah. If you look at the Nomad stand, for example, that thing costs, what is it? $70.
Well,
it's just a metal hunk.
You're setting up a controversy here, too,
okay.
Though, right?
All right, fine. What's
the controversy? Because Apple uses a standardized induction charging technology, and I'm trying to remember which company it is. But the CEO of that company came out this week and said, you know, basically Apple has tweaked their stuff and disabled it so that the Apple Watch only works with Apple's inductive charger puck thing. Mm. So with these other stands, you're forced to either buy a second one or use the one that came with your Apple Watch, because you can't just get the generic same technology third party one. The Apple Watch won't recognize it, basically.
Well, you got to think that is it a measure to keep it from to keep people from ruining their watch with.
Or you can argue
tech.
That Apple wants to force you to buy their, because they're the one thing about this charging dock that they make is it's the only one that has an integrated Apple induction charger built into the product. And that's because I think Apple's not selling them to third party companies.
True.
So if
that's my assumption.
Spigen or, you know, 12 South or any of these other companies that are making stands, I don't even think they can get it to integrate it into their design. I don't think they can get the Apple official, you know, little charger desk. So in that case, the people who are saying Apple is Apple's gouging, they have a certain degree of validity in saying that. Because if I want the one that's fully integrated where I just, you know, plug a lightning cable into the charging dock and it works with my Apple Watch, Apple is the only company to sell one of those, and it's $80.
Sure, but on the other hand, if you go out and buy the cable and buy a third-party dock to put them together, sure, so you have your own integrated solution, you end up paying the same price.
Yeah,
so,
but they're not as so elegant. None of them are as elegant, right?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Anything that I have to shove my own cable in, even if it's got nice little channels and things like that, they're just not quite as elegant, I think, a solution.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a knock on Apple. I'm just trying to give a balanced perspective on this thing. Right. So I can see where they're coming from. I don't think it's validated, because again, go get a $10, you know, Spigen, I think is how they say it. I keep saying Spigen. Spigen.
I kind of like it that way. Let's call it Spigen.
I don't think it's like a pigeon. I think it's like Spigen. You know, a $29 cable, and you have a $40 dock. And, you know, obviously Apple's the most expensive part of that with their $30 Apple cable. Yeah. Or use the one that came with your Apple Watch, which is what I do.
Yeah. I did buy a second cable. But that's because I like to have my travel gear set, so I don't have to run around and remember to take all my regular cables.
Yeah, that's a convenience thing.
Yeah, and then my regular cable I put into this I don't even know what I'm using right now. What is this? The Griffin pedestal stand.
I mean, Apple could have left the cable out of the box too, right? They didn't have to give you a cable with your Apple Watch.
This is true.
That would be so Amazon.
Yeah, so I need to check this thing out. But I don't think it's as greedy as people are making it out to be.
I don't think it's worth $80. I think it's crazy. But hey, if you want the Apple thing, that's fine.
Well, are you someone who likes docks?
I don't think Apple watch straps are worth $150 either. So that's just me.
Do you think that do you in general like docks for your products?
I do, but I have a Spigen one that I paid $15 for or $12 for on Amazon.
Does it flip to give you the alarm clock mode?
I think I could probably put it on sideways. I haven't tried it.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
If not, I mean, there's a million other options that I could get that aren't $80.
Yeah. I think you could probably make the same, well, I don't know if you could make the same argument with the iPod Hi-Fi.
Great. If you like it and you like Apple's design and you're willing to pay the price, that's fine too.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I think with accessories where there are other options, that it's much of a valued argument to sort of finger point at Apple and say, well, they're gouging.
Yeah, they're not gouging because you don't have to buy it.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it.
Right.
Buy something else. Same thing with the mice and the keyboards and any other accessory that they sell.
And if you think that it's horrible that Apple is out to make a profit, you need to stop, catch your breath, take a step back, and look at what Apple is. It's a corporation. They make products to sell them to make a profit.
Yeah, and if nobody buys it, then they're not forcing you to buy it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if this was the only docking solution that you could buy for your Apple Watch, then I'd be fully on board.
Yeah.
Apple is totally, you know, if they locked it down to the point where it's like, you can only charge with our cables and our, I guess they are with the cables, but with our charging dock, and we're not going to let any other third party make one, then I think we would have a different conversation.
Sure.
Right. And then especially if they sold you the watch and said, and now you have to spend $80 to get a charger so you can actually use your watch.
Yeah. Which, again, they'd be fully in their rights to do as well.
Sure. It would be a sucky thing, but they could do it.
Yeah. So.
All right. So iPhone, 4-inch iPhone.
Yep.
We're seeing more indications of that. So according to IHS Technology Research Director Kevin Wang, he believes that we'll see it in mid-2016. His belief is that they may adopt an A9 chip for the new phone, leaving out the Touch ID sensor for this to distinguish it from the other models. Although I don't.
Is this the older rumor? Because there's a newer rumor.
There's a new rumor
about an A8 processor.
Yeah.
Which
so
makes more sense to
this
me.
Is from Macatakara. They think it's going to be an A8 chip in an iPhone 5S case, which I don't see. I don't know.
Nah, it's going to be a new. I think it's going to be a design that matches the current 6S designs.
Well, okay. Now, I've been saying I don't see Apple doing the 4-inch phone.
I see it happening.
So, for sake of argument, let's say Apple does make a 4-inch phone. My guess would be that this is not a phone that they plan on selling, say, in the United States or the United Kingdom or Canada.
You're
or
crazy.
Australia. This would be a phone that they would be selling in emerging markets.
No. I mean, yeah, it may be primarily for that, and I think we had the same conversation about the 5C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I see them all around.
Yeah. Well,
the 5C, that turned out to be a pretty popular phone. I mean, there were a lot of people that really liked it. But
again, yeah.
Yeah.
This is I think you're right, Michael. I think we had the same conversation. To me, this is purely a consumer mental attitude sort of play.
Yeah.
So they can say, just like they did with the 5C, here is a low cost entry level option that is new and in line, and really all they've done is taken a 5S and put the guts inside a new case that looks like the other ones in a 4-inch form factor and said, here you go.
Yeah, and since I've been saying all along Apple's not going to make the 4-inch phone. This is sort of like Schrodinger's prediction. If I say it's not going to happen, oftentimes it does.
It will. Yeah.
So if I acknowledge that means Apple's going to make a 4-inch iPhone.
Is that how Schrodinger's cat works?
Yeah. The cat is both alive and dead until you open the box and check it.
But I don't think it's if you make a prediction, it's the opposite. Because I think that's Jeff's principle,
right? But
I'll name it after
Schrodinger.
We'll give you that thing.
But here's the thing:
if I say Apple's not going
to make it, but I acknowledge that that it's going to happen,
it could be alive or dead. We haven't
now. It's a Schrodinger.
Yeah, that's
dilemma.
What Jeff is saying. Yeah. So right at this moment, the 4-inch iPhone exists in both states. It is a product and it isn't a product.
Uh-huh. Yes. You're welcome, people.
Yeah. Same with the Apple television, right?
The actual Apple branded television set.
Yeah. Yep. For what it's worth, everybody's been saying that it's what we're looking at would be an iPhone 5S.
Right.
Well, iPhone 5S guts. The iPhone 5S has an A7.
Yeah, so it'd be a slightly updated processor. Yeah. But I mean,
the iPhone 6 has an A8.
Orange screen at the same resolution, no Touch ID, no 3D Touch, or Touch ID.
So iPhone 5S size, iPhone 5 size, but with the A8. Or with,
correct.
Yes, with the A8, the iPhone 6 processor, which you guys are not, you guys are both on the S, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you guys don't know the pain, or maybe you do. I don't know. What pain? Of iOS 9 being slow and sucky and lame.
My wife has my old 5S and my daughter has my 5 and they're both running iOS 9 and it's fine.
Yep.
I see tons of complaints and I experience it daily. There's tons of clickiness. I mean, I have not experienced
it. Do you think maybe because you're a tech nerd like us?
No,
your
expectations
are higher.
No. I mean, I'm not being unreasonable here with what I'm saying. I've looked at forums where people are like, "Yeah, here's what you got to do. You flip up the control center and you press the AirPlay button and then you put it down and then you put it back and then you double click to go into the task switcher and you'll see some frames drop." And I am not nearly that crazy. It's just like I double click. And there's a literal 3-second delay. I double click and I know that the phone knows I just did it, and I can't do it again, because if I do it again, by the time it catches up to what I asked it to do, it will do the reverse. So I have to wait 3 seconds.
When's the last time you restored your device?
Recently. With iOS 9.1, I did a nuke and pave with iOS 9.1. And for about 5 days, it was nice. And I told my friends, hey, you know how iOS 9 has been terrible? It's great now with iOS 9, but now it's bad again. I don't know what's going on. I thought iOS 9 was supposed to be the polishing iOS.
Again, I've got two phones and two people in my house who would, if there was a problem, I would know about it.
Well, that's
quickly.
True.
Yeah, and I have enough people in my world that are using 5s, 5Cs, 5Ss, and 6s that if they were having trouble, I would be hearing about it all the time.
Let,
and I've played with their devices,
and
they're fine.
I have one other question for Michael.
Yes?
I don't think this is the case. I will be shocked if you say yes to what I'm about to ask you.
Am I jailbroken?
No. Do you have Facebook installed on your phone?
No, I don't.
Okay. Just checking.
That would be the first thing I would delete if I did have it on there, because if I was having issues, I would assume it was Facebook.
Okay, cool. Just, I had to ask.
Yeah. But for what it's worth, I did, yesterday I got fed up with it and I went into the background app refresh and I turned off all the apps. It didn't make sense for them to have.
That is actually a good tip. I just discovered that. It seems like that's like on by default almost.
Yeah, right? It is. Right? It is. It's not something that it asks you, right? When you install the app, it doesn't ask you if you want to do it. It just does it.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, I recently just noticed this. If you go into your settings and go into each individual app, and unfortunately I have to go app by app by app.
No, you don't.
Oh, no, that's right. Somebody else told me you can go into, is it
general background app refresh, and then you have a list of all the ones that have it.
So go through that list.
And flick off the ones that don't make sense to have background updating.
Yeah, like freaking like Airbnb. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Updating in the background.
Or the Apple Trailers app. You don't need that.
Or Amazon.
Yeah, what the hell does Amazon need to do?
I don't know. Or Best Buy.
Yeah.
Or BJ's.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the stuff. Actually, the stuff that I have on still, there are very few that need to really be on. Like Chrome. Why does Chrome need background refresh?
Why does CalcBot?
Exactly.
What's it doing?
So you have up to the minute recalculations of like 3 plus 2 to see if it changed.
Yeah. So you want to turn all those things off. I wonder if some of them aren't even using background app refresh at all anyway, and it's just
there.
Like someone had that box ticked when they were developing the app and just left it. I mean, there are some things like my automatic car adapter app needs that on. It makes sense.
Yeah. Or like for example, I use Flickr photos to back up and have all my photos. So it's nice to be able to have the thumbnails already generated.
Or ETA. ETA makes sense. So it can figure out what the, my current ETA to things are. Yeah. So there's a tip for you. Now,
I'm looking in here right now and I'm seeing stuff. I have no idea what these apps are.
You need to go through.
What is Juice Sync 2?
Delete it.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is here.
Start deleting.
So this is just general good advice. Do a little housekeeping on your iOS devices, and this could be a way to find apps that you're like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pandora ruined RDO. Oh, wait, that's not the headline.
No, Spotify ruined RDO. Pandora just picked them up.
Did Spotify ruin RDO?
Yeah, they couldn't compete with Spotify.
I guess that's true. So, Pandora picked up key assets and employees from RDO. It does not appear that they're going to maintain the RDO brand. I don't know what the hell Pandora plans to do with RDO, because RDO is
they're going to do a streaming subscription service.
I guess that would make sense, because they already have the other half.
I think they've already said that they are.
Okay.
Well, I read that somewhere.
Yeah, they said it in so many words. They didn't say it explicitly.
Mm.
I wonder if it's going to have the same
features. What else would you do?
Yeah, because you're already doing the other thing there really are only two things that you can do in music streaming, and now they're going to be doing the other part.
And not to mention every one of your other competitors is doing both already.
Yeah.
I mean, so, if you're looking at Spotify or Apple Music or what's the other one?
RDO?
Yeah, I guess RDO was the other one, right?
Yeah. So there, I have a lot of friends who are bummed about that because RDO is awesome. And I really did like RDO. The problem that RDO had was the problem that all of the streaming music apps had, which was that they had the shitty side menu thing that was really difficult to do anything with, to find anything. And of course, there's no Siri integration. So while Apple Music's implementation isn't like top notch, it's pretty close, and having Siri available for commands makes it all right. So that's why I haven't been using RDO, but it looks like, based on the comments I've seen from my friends, they will be moving from RDO to Apple Music now.
Cool.
That doesn't surprise me. Hey, I just figured out what YouSync is. It's an app for a product I'm testing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it Apple Juice?
No, it's actually a portable charger that has Bluetooth built in, so it can tell your iPhone how much charge is left on the battery. And if you can't figure out where it is, you can set off a little alert for it, or if you leave it behind, it can alert you that you forgot your charger.
That's nice. Why the hell doesn't the Apple remote, the new Siri remote, why doesn't it have a little chimey thing? Of all the junk that's in that, why couldn't they put a little like piezo speaker or something? For goodness sakes. And my lady just completely hates it because every time she picks it up, she throws the time of whatever show she's watching.
Ooh, you know the trick for that.
Pick it up backwards?
No. For fixing it, for like backing out of that.
What?
Press the menu button. It'll jump right back.
See, I thought that that's how you did it, but every time I did, it must be...
Is she actually clicking? Now, the question is she clicking it or just bringing up the scrubber?
If she's gone so far
as to actually click on it, then you can't.
She brings up the scrubber. And I thought that was the trick, and then I started hitting menu, and then it would just back me out of the show. But I think it might be a situation where I'm bringing up the scrubber, but I'm not actually moving it.
Hmm. But menu should still work there too, because it just basically closes the scrubber.
It doesn't. It just backs out of the show.
Does flicking up get rid of the scrubber also? Week.
Oh, so like if you haven't moved it. Yeah, I think you might be right if you haven't moved it at all.
Yeah, you just bring it up. You just tap. Whatever. And Apple Maps is now using Foursquare data.
Yay.
So maybe better Apple Maps.
You know, I like Apple Maps. I stopped using Google Maps completely.
Yeah, same.
I have too. It's fine.
It's one of those things that both of these topics are kind of running in parallel, the Apple Music and the Apple Maps. It's one of those things that it appears to me that they have been secretly, quietly getting a little bit better every day. So
yeah.
I guess it's good. Good job. Good job, Apple. You're doing it, I guess.
Or we've just become complacent because we've been beaten down so many times. It's like the dog, you know, like you beat him enough and then he's just like,
"Aw, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard."
Wow.
Okay. So
don't do that. I love animals and no, I'm not implying that's something, but it's the cliche that people say, right?
Yeah.
You just keep pushing someone down and then eventually they just like, okay, it's fine. I'll just accept this. Sometimes feels like that way with Apple. Apple Music sucks. Apple Music sucks. Okay. Well, I guess this is what I have and it works better than the other stuff. So, all right. It's okay.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not, and it's sad. It's one of those things that, you know, the issue for me with Apple stuff has always been either be consistently shitty or consistently awesome. Please don't be like mostly awesome and then every once in a while break my heart.
Yeah.
You know, this is such a missed opportunity for so many companies because Apple's products by and large are better, but there are things that we complain about. I mean, we've sat here and bitched and moaned about all kinds of stuff
for
an hour and a half. And think of all these companies out there that have everything they need if they could just figure out how to put the pieces together in the right way.
Listen to
do something
show.
Better than Apple.
Just listen to this show.
Here's the Start thing. If we were talking notes. About these other products, there'd be nothing good to say. That's the difference, right?
Right.
Like, we have mostly good stuff to say with a few issues as opposed to the alternative, which is, all right, everything on this pretty much sucks, except here's one good thing. I mean, we would be having the opposite conversation.
Has this show turned into a Stitch and Bitch?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, again, I love all of this stuff still. I think what we're trying to do is bring out not give the impression that everything is rosy. I don't want to be one of those shows that's like, Apple can do no wrong. They never mess up. They're totally awesome. You should, you know, not buy anything else. And I don't want to get there. I don't ever want to get there because I don't think that's legit.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay, let's talk about picks, things that we like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, do you have one?
I do. And it's kind of funny that I'm picking this after our conversation about keyboards.
Cool.
But my pick is the Zag Messenger Universal Keyboard. And it's a Bluetooth keyboard. It's not a case. So it's a Bluetooth keyboard with a built-in stand. You kind of... It has its own cover, and the cover folds into a stand. And it's designed so it's big enough to hold an iPad Pro.
Ooh.
But since it's Bluetooth, you compare it with anything. If you wanted to, you compare it with your Mac. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could.
Or an Apple TV if that worked.
Yeah, or an Apple TV if that worked. So the keys are pretty much full size. I should actually measure them to see if they really are, but they feel like they're like the regular size keys. And it works really well with the iPad Pro. So the trade-off is instead of having it integrated with your iPad, it's a separate thing that you bring along. So if you wanted to have your iPad so that you could just use it however, but then add in a keyboard whenever you need it, this is a really nice option. I like how the keys feel. It's been working really well for me. I've been using it for several days. And I like the angle that it holds my iPad at. It's a really nice keyboard. So it's the Zag Messenger Universal. And I mentioned it kind of in passing on Daily Observations the other day. And I had completely misunderstood the pricing. I thought it was $150. It's actually $70.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's nice.
That's a pretty good price.
Yeah. And it's a nice keyboard. You know, you do have to charge it up because it's Bluetooth.
Sure.
But it just works.
Nice.
Oh, and you know what? I should totally check and see if it shows up in the little battery widget.
It probably does if it has the software to report battery status. Most current headphones do that. So, Adam.
Yes.
What is your pick?
I'm going to pick something that I think we mentioned on the show, but I double checked and I don't think anybody actually picked this thing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the new iPhone has the whole live photos thing, which yep. Live photos are awesome, but you can only share them in limited places.
I feel like you picked this 3 weeks ago.
Nope, I didn't.
You searched?
We talked about it.
Okay.
So what I'm picking is Live GIF.
Love it.
It's a simple app. You just open it up. It will find all of your live photos in your camera roll or your library, show them to you, and then you can tap on one and then convert it either into a... It will convert it into a GIF, and then it will give you the option to either share the the GIF or the video?
Yeah, Jeff picked this.
Say GIF or GIF?
The guy that invented the technology calls it GIF.
GIF, okay.
Yeah, and Jeff picked it October 17th.
He did. Well, it's so good that it needed to be picked again.
Okay.
Oh, it's called Live.
Two words.
GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I didn't find it on search.
Wah, wah.
Damn it. Well, Jeff picked it. I'm going to pick it again because it's awesome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I didn't have anything else.
$2.
Because I also, the other thing I was going to pick, I think Jeff also did pick, which would be Beat Sports, right? Did you pick Beat Sports, Jeff?
No, I did not.
I don't think so. What's that?
So here's your bonus then, since I did a double pick. Beat Sports is a Apple TV app from the folks at Harmonix that make like Rock Band. Is it Rock Band? No, Guitar Hero.
Okay.
Right, eventually. It's the thing that they demoed at the announcement for the new Apple TV, and it's a little like Wii Sports style game with a music like beat. So these monsters come up on the screen, and you have to like smash back balls that they're throwing at you, and hit different ones, and you do it to there's a beat that's playing, and so you have to hit the rhythm to actually be able to sort of hit the things back, and you use your Apple remote. Your Siri remote with the accelerometer.
Yeah.
So you like swing at the balls and sort of hit them back. And it does have a multiplayer mode, although for multiplayer, you have to download a free iPhone app and you use the iPhone app. Unfortunately, on the iPhone app, it doesn't use the accelerometer. You just do swiping.
That's stupid.
So for your lazy friends, it's actually really kind of fun because you can just sit there on the couch and
just flick
yourself.
Yep.
Instead of, but it's a head. It's got a head-to-head kind of mode, so that does make it kind of a little bit more fun. And I think it's $10 on the App Store.
That's worth it. Worth the $10.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. If you like that sort of game, yeah. I mean, if you enjoy something like Wii Sports, it's sort of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little pricey. You'd have to really like this type of game, I think, to buy it, but. It was fun playing with my kids. We got our $10 worth out of it for sure.
Cool. All right. So my pick is Sidefari.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
Is it Side or Slidefari?
I think it's Sidefari. I think it's Sidefari. Let me double check here. But it's $1.
Oh, that's right. Sidefari. Side by side.
Yeah. Sidefari. And the idea is it just kind of fixes that whole thing where you're like, why can't I have two Safari windows and split screen on my iPad.
Oh, how did I not know about this before now?
It just came out like last couple days, right?
Yeah. Released. Where's the release date? November 20th, I think. Yesterday.
Okay. Yesterday turned out to be a really weird schedule day for me. So I guess I have an excuse.
Yeah. So, yeah. $1, and it's just, it's not as fully featured as Safari, but it gets the job done for those times.
It's going to have to use the in-app UI web view, right?
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah. It really functions as your secondary Safari browser. So for those times that you want to do that, now you can do that, especially on your iPad Pro.
That's cool. Really cool.
Yeah. So check it out. And it only works on, it's the iPad Air 2.
iPad Air 2, iPad Mini 4, basically the ones that'll do split screen.
Yes. I mean, you can get it for the other ones, I believe, but it's not useful.
But it doesn't have as much value if you're not really trying to do split screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only 99 cents.
It is. Okay, so with that, our iPhone picks and the show notes are at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes, rate the show, tell a friend. We always appreciate that. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your feedback, questions, comments, all that stuff. And we also have the comment thread on every episode at theiosshow.com. Of course, our sponsor, techrestore.com. Repair parts, DIY guides, and the safety net. Check them out. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, MattCast.com, at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast. You can find that in iTunes and, I don't know, wherever else you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And it's always awesome to be here.
Great to have you. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can tweet me things. There was something we were complaining about, and it seemed like I wanted feedback on, but I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure you guys will probably already tweet that to me.
Or, Michael, you're over it, whatever it was.
Nah, I'm probably not over it.
Not once people remind you.
That's true. Yeah, I'll get fired up again. Yeah. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus.